Okay, tell me about Rocket Man.
Well, before
December the 4th, he's playing Three Arena in Dublin. Rod Stewart, sorry, go on.
That was a really early interruption. Before one word
many,
I'd said.
There'll be many more.
Oh, I know. A long time before Sir Elton became Sir Elton, he was Reg Dwight. And this film has been planned for a long time. It has nothing to do with Bohemian Rhapsody and the extraordinary success of that film. This has been planned for a long time. I think Elton wanted to do this for a long time. And David Furnish, his partner, was involved in producing it, which would make you think it's some kind of hagiography, but it is not, because he has always been very honest about, you know, his struggles with this.
He is one of the great interviewees, Elton, all right.
Is he? Have you interviewed
very
him?
Very entertaining. You know something? I haven't. I actually had this bizarre opportunity to meet him once when Chris Roach was, he was in Dublin playing, and Chris said, come on, he's going to meet some people downstairs there.
Yeah.
I said, I know, I'm having a drink here with this guy here. I'll talk to you later. I never met him.
Ah, jeez.
No, I never interviewed him. I've read his interviews down through the years when he was the biggest thing in the 1970s. And like,
yeah.
I think 3% of album sales in 1974 around the
4% according to this
really?
Film, which is of
yeah.
world sales.
Really, yeah,
for
that's
him.
Right. It's just
massive.
Astonishing what he was doing in the mid 70s, and he's really entertaining in an interview.
He is. Well, as this film Rocket Man makes clear, what happened to him? He was 23 when him and Bernie Taupin, who's very central in this film, which is great and very important, when they started, pumping out the hits.
They were put together, weren't they?
They were put together by Dick James and these people. As soon as the hits started coming in Britain, they went over to America to play that famous gig at the, whatever that name of that club is. What's the name of that club in LA? The Troubadour.
Oh, yeah.
And instantly he was huge in America as well at that age, in a way that hardly ever happens to anybody. Like, it took other people like Bowie in that years to break.
That's kind of weird,
And off it went, and obviously he was not protected very well by his management either, and it all went over a cliff. But this film, it's going to be compared to Bohemian Rhapsody. It might not even do as well as Bohemian Rhapsody, but it is a much better film than that one for a number of reasons. Bohemian Rhapsody was great fun. I think the reason it did well was because people love Freddie, and it was like having Freddie back in a way. But it was a mess structurally as a film. I mean, the Live Aid thing at the end was very good. The performance was quite good if you get over the teeth, but. He wasn't singing because, I mean, in fairness, like, I don't know if you could sing Freddie's songs, but Taron Egerton, who's a good actor, has been waiting for a chance like this, does sing, and it makes all the difference. But also, this film dares to be a musical in the sense that it uses the songs to illustrate parts of Elton's life, and it does it really, really well. It starts, you know, when he's in the 1450s, when he's growing up, and his childhood was not that easy one.
In Pinner in Essex.
Pinner in Middlesex.
Middlesex. Sorry,
sorry to correct you, but the only reason I know it's because I saw the film. But he has this talent, and he goes to the Royal Academy of Music, and there's a lovely scene there, and he has a wonderful pitch and an ear and so on and so forth. But then he finds Elvis, discovers Elvis, and then it all takes off.
Mm.
As I say, Bernie Taupin is also central to it. He's played by Jamie Bell, because they're, you know him, know Elton, as he would always acknowledge. And they're together through the very rough times that follow success. That gig in the Troubadour, which is kind of often talked about by everybody who was there and some who weren't there, is really well done. He literally sort of lifts off at one point because he has just, his talent has, and his performing ability, that combination has just, he's just exploded in America. And then we get all the you know, the addictions and the this and the that and the nasty managers, principal among whom is John Reed, who's played by Richard Madden.
Who didn't come out of it too well in the last movie either.
No, he didn't, but he comes out of it even worse in this one.
Yeah.
He is the villain of this piece, if there is one. And Richard Madden's very good at him, actually. And curiously, watching it,
Could he be the next Bond?
Well, that's what I was about to get at. I know this is kind of ridiculous, on, but the way he prowled around this film, you could really imagine him doing it, I have to say.
Really?
Yeah.
Right.
But so he's very good, but the film, like, there are a lot of dark moments, and it is much more honest and reflective. You get a sense of who Reg Dwight, which was his name, who he really was, in a way that you didn't at all with the Freddie Mercury film. So that was all on the surface. This simultaneously goes deeper, and yet is a musical, and is a tailor-made West End musical, which I have no doubt it will become.
Okay, fair enough. And by the way, what's the age? 15s, is it? I think it's 15s, yeah. I think it probably is.
I think it is 15s, well, yeah.
It is warts and all, isn't it?
Yeah, it is warts and all, and there are sex scenes in it, and the only reason people are giving out about them is because they're gay sex scenes. What's the difference?
The point is that, like, Rod, there'll be a movie on Rod. I think the full story there.
Yeah, which would be great. Rock and roll. And did you know the other thing
is... The Janis Joplin one is coming out soon as well.
Yeah, I was talking the other day. Dusty Springfield. They're very defensive about the Bowie ones. I mean, that would be a very difficult one to get right. I mean, his son is saying, like, you know, over our dead bodies.
Of course, his son is a famous movie director, I forgot. Yeah, indeed. Yeah. Zoe or Duncan. Yeah, okay.
Duncan Jones, yeah.
All right, okay. Give us another movie. That's Rocket Man, thumbs up, definitely.
Absolutely. Right. Really enjoyable. Right. Aladdin.
Aladdin, yes.
Okay.
This is another live action.
Disney are remaking their back catalogue in live action way. Sometimes that works, sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes you wonder why they've bothered. This is one of those
instances.
Some of
them are great. The Jungle Book one was pretty fantastic.
The Jungle Book one was good. I thought Beauty and Beast was very good.
Beauty and Beast, very good, yeah.
This is okay, but it leaves you wondering why, because, I mean, so a lot of people would be very fond of the 1992 cartoon, and Robin Williams was the genie in it, and he was a very chatty genie, obviously, and he did what only he could do, and the songs were very good and people liked it a lot. A lot of the songs have survived the transition to this film, and instead of Robin Williams we get Will Smith.
That's a problem, is it? Yeah.
Well, actually, he can annoy me. He has I don't know if he means it. He probably does. He's probably a terribly nice guy, but he sort of can come across as very smug, and he doesn't in this film, and he's kind of okay as the genie, and they use CGI to make him big and turn him blue. And that all looks good, and that's quite well done. Guy Ritchie directs this film, so there's a lot of CGI, and it moves fast, and it's not subtle. That seems to be the way he makes films. But it's all right, to be honest. I was expecting it to be worse than it was. It's perfectly presentable as a film. I just wonder what the point was. And also, I suppose... the way it presents the Middle East, I mean, you can say yes, it's a fairy tale, but it's maybe slightly problematic, but it's okay, and the young leads are good in it, and Will Smith is perfectly alright in it, and it's kind of funny at times.
Okay, that's Aladdin.
Yeah.
Anything else?
Yes, Secret Life of Pets 2.
Oh, great. Secret Life of Pets 2. I don't think I even saw the first one, did I?
You didn't see
the
first one.
I've seen the trailers, actually, for these things. And
I'll tell you how often I've seen the first one.
The trailers were
good. I'll tell you how often I've seen the first one. I'd say about 25 to 30 times.
It's one of those, isn't it?
But it's the first one is very, very likable. The whole idea being that when you go out and close the door, your dogs and cats have this sort of secret life. And
that's a Toy Story
situation. Yeah. Well, I suppose a version of except involving pets. But the first one was very nicely done. This one isn't quite as well done in the sense that it has three stories. The first one was about this dog called Max, who has a sort of dream owner, Penny, who loves him. But then she brings home this rescue dog called Duke, who's this very large dog. And obviously the other dog is very threatened, and they have to learn how to get along. And they ended up running with a street gang led by a psychotic bunny called Snowball. Snowball, who was very funny, and voiced by Kevin Hart. They all turn up in this film, or most of them do, but there are three different stories, one of them involving a trip to a farm, and Harrison Ford voices this sort of macho dog in it. But the stories just don't really come together the way they did in the first film, but it is beautifully animated, and there's some very nice moments, and the little people who went to see it last week absolutely loved it, so it is doing something right.
Okay, fair enough. Secret Life of Pets 2.
Memoir of War. This is it's French film. It's based on a book that Marguerite Duras wrote called I think it was called what was it called? I've written down here. So it was called Douleur, Sadness in French, and it was about she was a great French writer post-war mainly, and she was involved in the French Resistance, and her husband was taken by the collaborating French authorities, and he ended up going to Dachau. This being Paris, even during the war, things are slightly complicated. She has fallen in love with somebody else, but is determined to find her husband. She's played here by Melanie Thierry, isn't it? Who's very good in it, actually. And so she sort of meets this French policeman, who's a collaboration policeman, and she sort of does this dance with him. He's keen on her, but he might know where her husband is, so she tries to get information out of him, and then the resistance gets involved. All that story is told in this film. The book, the original book, which I read, it sort of blends her own life with fiction in this very sort of clever and complicated way. Obviously that can't be done in the film, and it isn't, and the film is only kind of okay, but the story is interesting and she's very, very good in it.
Okay, fair enough. So it's Memoir of War,
yeah,
would be thumbs up. Secret Life of Pets works fine. It mightn't be as good as the first, but it's good. Aladdin, again, works fine. You know, didn't touch a boat, but good. And Rocket Man, Elton John, thumbs up. And by the way, next weekend, we'll be taking a look at the career of Elton John as well on the programme. Anyway, Paul, good man. Thank you very much indeed.